Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy, toppy.
It's Blackham.
Hashtag fuck Ennis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye bye.
Come on.
Hello. Welcome back to a Burkamp Wonderland. I am OG. I am here to do a bit of a show today with the guys, a couple guys that you guys know well. First of all, we got Danny working the buttons today. Danny, why don't you say hello?
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Carl.
Oh, you've introduced Carl on me. Oh, unbelievable.
They won't know. They don't know what Carl I'm talking about.
I'm not here yet.
Don't tell anyone Carl's here. Okay, let's go with Carl then. Carl, the man who runs the trains to a 99.999997% satisfaction rate, the 0.000003 is Mr. Andrew Fife. Appreciate having you here, Carl. Say hello.
Hello. But again, Andrew doesn't really matter because, you know, he earns loads of money anyway, so it's fine. He can take a cab.
It's unbelievable stats for you, Carl.
Actually true as well. That's the thing. So yeah. You're actually that good.
I've done my research ahead of the show here, ladies and gentlemen. So actually researching underground satisfaction rates in London is part of my skill set. Tonight, we've got a bit of a transfer special talking about incomings, outgoings, what we're thinking about the season. There are a few more shows in the works coming up, but this was a good time for me to join. But before I get into it, I just want to make a brief statement on behalf of a Burkamp Wonderland. About our dear friend Steve. So as you know, it's been a very difficult week for all of us here at a Burkamp Wonderland. Sadly, on August 4th, Steve, as you guys will know, Mr. Lord Hillwood lost his long-term battle with cancer. Steve was a founding member of a Burkamp Wonderland and obviously a dear friend to all of us. Along with being a podcast legend, Steve was ever present in our chat groups, always sharing his opinions on everything from Arsenal to politics. He was extremely smart and his wit was unparalleled. He would be the first to commend you on a job well done and always willing to engage in a little verbal sparring. Steve was always fair. He'd treat new and old, near and far gooners with respect. Unless you stepped out of line, then you might get a firm reminder that you were talking bollocks. Over the last few months, Steve was stoic and maintained his sense of humor through everything that he went through. He also asked that we not go public with his fight against a terminal illness out of respect for his family, whom he loved very much. In time, we'll do a special podcast to honor our friend. But in the meantime, as Steve would say, get on with it. And Steve, if you're listening, can you have a word with the big man about our defense? Cheers, fella, and up the Arsenal. Right? Let's get on with it. Let's get right into transfers here, guys. Big day, lots to talk about this week. And let's start with the most recent confirmed signing, Kieran Tierney. Carl, coming to you, what do you think about the signing? What is it? What does it mean for Arsenal? Are you happy about it? Give us your thoughts.
I am. I think left back is something that we needed to look at, as much as Kolasinac, is a good player. I still think we need something else there because Arsenal's defense, in true, no matter what, is not the best. And I think that even with Nacho Monreal is really getting on now. And I think he's going to be playing more maybe as a centre-back rather than a left-back because I don't think he's got the legs anymore to get up and down the pitch. Kieran Tierney gives us width, which is the way that the manager wants to play. You can always tell now that the manager wants to play with a lot of width, you know, wide players and driving in, and he will give us that. You know, he's a good cross off the ball. He's quite physical. I'm not going to claim to say I've seen him play loads of times or I watch Scottish football because I honestly, if I'm honest, I think Scottish football is a waste of time, to be honest. But sorry, I have seen him play, and I'm not going to say I've seen him loads, but I have, and he's a good little player. You know, he's in the Scotland side as well. So, you know, he's an international. And to get an international left back for 25 mil in this transfer window, I think is absolutely brilliant because we've seen some of the players go for some very, very silly money. So, you know, I know at the moment I think he's injured, so he's definitely not going to come straight into the squad. But when he is fit and ready to go, I think he definitely improves us.
I agree, Carl. I think a lot has been made about the fact that he's Andy Robertson's understudy in the Scottish side. And Robertson's obviously been a big hit at Liverpool. I'm excited about this signing as well. Left back, as you said, improving that left side for us. Monreal's not going to be around forever. Gives us a bit of a bit of coverage as well. Center back, as Monreal has been known to play in that center back position, is coverage. I'm not saying he's our first choice there, although he might be a little bit closer to first choice after the last couple of days. But yeah, definitely a marquee signing. Danny, what do you think about Kieran Tierney joining from Celtic?
If I share a screen here, can you all see that, the transfer market screen?
I can.
97 games, 5 goals, 25 assists. Now, for a bloke that's only 22 years old, that's a hell of a lot of experience. So when you take into consideration, it says 171 games, 8 goals, 37 assists for all competitions. Some of those you can ignore. But that is still a lot of games for someone so young. Now, if I go back to our thing over here, and then I'm going to close that. But the important thing is, for me, that people have been complaining, saying that Kierney, I can't have Kierney and Tierney in the same word. So I'm going to mess it up all year round.
Compare them to Thierry Henry for me, if you will, too. Let's throw that name in there.
But then you look at his wiki stats. Now, this is a lot easier to comprehend because they say last season, he missed part of last season, and they say he's injury prone. Well, he's not really injury prone. It says here 170 games in 3.5 seasons or 4 seasons, because he spent some injured. That's not a bad rate for someone who is he's not going to be 23 until nearly a year from now. He's only just gone 22, so that's an amazing set of stats that he's got there, and that's going to give all of us hope, because we do need to. I was saying in our WhatsApp group, are we going to go down the line that men like Dortmund, this is the best way to put it, get really promising young players in, have them for 3 or 4 years, and then flog them on to the big boys? I think we're going to see that with a couple of the other blokes we bought from France. We may well see this from him. And if that's the way we're going to go, that's a sustainable way, because I doubt very much we're going to make much money from winning the Champions League or the Premier League anytime soon, not with Man City and all the other teams that have all the oil money. So I'm really happy with it. And I've seen him play a few times for Celtic. The most important thing I've seen, like everyone else, is looking at YouTube. I saw a video of him and now I'm convinced he's world class. He loves those. He's a little bit Kolasinac. He's like Kolasinac with a really good crossing, but he's also like Monreal, where he's got really good defending. I think the player that we could probably compare him to the most that has played in the top league here is going to be, apart from Robertson, is going to be Sessegnon, the way he was at Fulham in the Championship. But I don't think he can make his mind up whether he's left wing back, any of those. But he's going to be able to cover the entire down that side. So whether we're going to play 3 centre-backs and play 2 wing-backs, or whether we can play 2 centre-backs and left-back and a right-back, he's going to fit into all of those positions. And I'm really excited for him. I love a bit of pace these days is what wins you games.
I love it. I love it, Danny. You raise a really good point about the fact that he's a two-way player, and you know, Emery, as Carl was saying, Emery likes to attack through his fullbacks. We see it with Bellerin on the right-hand side last year. He was, you know, before he got injured, was setting up goals. But we didn't really seem to have that balance either through Nacho or Kolasinac on the left-hand side. And so to be able to bring in a guy, 22, lifelong Celtic guy, obviously their fans are not happy today on social media that we got our man. But someone who's going to offer us something in this side, in the system that we seem to be playing, attacking through our fullbacks, I think a really positive signing. The fact, too, that he is so young still is positive for the future. Like you said, you know, if he knocks it out of the park, becomes a sellable asset at some point. But ideally, if he knocks it out of the park, he's with us for the next 10 years. So there's, you know, the two ways to look at it. But certainly a very positive signing. It took all summer. I mean, I can't believe how many messages I saw on social media saying, you know, that deal was done a long time ago. And it did seem to be a matter of who blinked first. And certainly when I saw some of the quotes coming out of Neil Lennon yesterday about the fact that he thought he might move or he wasn't going to be as injured as they'd originally said, you know, it certainly looked like that was a bit of a public statement to get him across the line. So, certainly a positive signing. I'm excited about this one. A defensive signing, which I think makes all of us happy. Any last words, gentlemen, on Kieran Tierney before we move on to some of the others?
I think it could well be the end of Monreal at left back. I don't think we'll ever see him play there again. Monreal is now going to be the cover for centre back that we've all been looking for.
Yeah, we might see him in the Europa But yeah, certainly he's not the first choice, it would seem, once Tierney's not injured and back running fit for sure.
Because we had our backup left back who's played some games in the preseason, Dominic Thompson, has gone to Brentford. Now, I thought it was on loan. I've heard it's 3 million. I've heard it's 1 million. That's a hell of a young player. And so it seems like that the Scottish bloke, who's not even Scottish, is he? He's born in the Isle of Man. That he's going to be the understudy, the one who's going to come through. I think it's going to be Kolasinac playing down there on the left-hand side most of the time. And it's going to be really exciting. Pace, pace, pace. And another Scotsman. It's been a while since we've had a regular in the first team who played for Scotland. I know last season we had, what was his name? He's been released and went to Norwich. Oh, can't remember his name. That's terrible, isn't it? No, can't remember it.
Might be.
Oh, actually, I've got it all written down here, haven't I? So I can just go and have a look. Charlie Gilmore. There you go. Yeah, he's been released, gone to Norwich City, and they've loaned him to a Dutch team. And so, yeah, it's nice to have a Scotsman in there. Could have a few Irishmen in there as well, but I don't think there's any of those around, sadly. What are we going to talk about next?
Well, I think let's go from incoming to outgoing defensively. It wouldn't be right if we didn't mention Carl Jenkinson in the show today. Let's talk about Jenko. Sealed a deal yesterday to Nottingham Forest. Our right back, our ever-present right back, last of the British core at Arsenal, gone. And probably gone with a very classy farewell, which we can talk about farewells in a second here. Thoughts on Carl Jenkinson, Carl?
He lived every Arsenal supporter's dream, didn't he? He was an Arsenal supporter who got to play for the club that he supports. You know, I think every single Arsenal supporter wants to do that. You know, unfortunately, I personally think he was ever good enough. You know, I know Arsene Wenger had a lot of faith in him, and Arsene Wenger had a lot of faith in Project Youth and the British core that he wanted. And sadly, you know, season by season, they all left. And, you know, anyone would have told me that Carl Jenkinson would have been the last man standing, you would have laughed in my face. But, you know, like you said, classy. He did his job. You know, he wasn't good enough. You know, let's face it, he really wasn't good enough for Arsenal. But whenever he needed to do a job on the football pitch, he gave 100%. You could never say that Carl Jenkinson phoned it in. He came on and he tried his best. And sometimes, you know, your best isn't good enough. He wasn't good enough at this level. But good luck to him. He is an Arsenal boy through and through. And, you know, he didn't want to leave, but obviously the manager would have told him that his chances would have been limited this season. So he's now gone to Nottingham Forest. And I genuinely hope he does well. He may find his level at Nottingham Forest. And who knows, he may see him in the Premiership another time. But for Arsenal, he just wasn't good enough to play. But you know what? You can't ask for more. He every time he came on the pitch, he gave 100%. So good luck to the man.
No, I agree. I don't think there's an Arsenal fan out there that won't wish him well in his new adventure. And as you said, in the modern era where players, there are players that are moody in the squad, and then there have been players that have been hiding, I think, at times on the pitch. To see a guy like Jenkinson living the dream, living the Arsenal dream. And I remember a quote way back. I think somebody made a statement that he's the type of guy who would run through walls for Arsenal. And, you know, he was super fit. He always worked his socks off, and unfortunately just didn't have the level quite required for the Arsenal. But we wish him really well. Danny, Carl Jenkinson for you?
Yeah, brilliant. It's like Carl was saying, he left it all out on the pitch, which is a really good thing. But you saw in the preseason friendly when was it Real Madrid? And he killed one of their players by shoulder barging him out. Yes, an old-fashioned style English defender. Took no prisoners, and I love to see that for him. But just I've left the Wikipedia stuff on it. I was a bit too premature in putting it up so soon. But we can see they played 70 games. He scored a goal. There's been plenty of players who played for Arsenal and haven't scored a goal. And he's got a plaque outside of the Emirates for his granddad. He's got his granddad's name, and he says, "I hope you're proud of me." Because he played for Arsenal. And I didn't realise how there was a couple of back-to-back seasons where he played 21 games and 22 games. I mean, people give him a lot of grief and say that he's not good enough. Well, I've always said we need players at the club who are going to be the Gilles Grimandi, the Remy Gard, the Emmanuel Abue, people who are going to be there filling holes when someone isn't playing and isn't going to be in the papers going, well, I'm not playing every game, I want to leave, this is disgusting, I'm going to be going. We need a handful of those players at the club, and he was one of those players. And his first, he was on loan at West Ham, and he's brilliant at West Ham for his first season. He went the second season, he got an injury, had to come back to us. And then the other loan that he had was at Birmingham City when they had a disastrous season. They had Cohen Bramall offers as well, so they had a right back and a left back from us. They didn't get played much. I think they had two or three changes of manager. They finished almost got relegated from the Championship. Awful season, which really wasn't down to those two, because I think he went there and he got injured straight away as well. So, yeah, he's had a really good career that most Arsenal fans would love, considering that just before we bought him, Charlton had loaned him to Conference Premier, which is the fifth tier of English football. He was playing there the season before he comes to Arsenal, and then the next season he's played 14 games for Arsenal. I mean, he could just make the film about him now. We can get our Josh to play him in the film, because they look quite similar. A bit gingery, I think, possibly. So, yeah, what's your thoughts, then, Jeff? Are you a bit sad to see him go?
Yeah, I think I understand it, though. I think he's 27 now. He's got to get on with it if he wants to play the top flight. I understand why he's gone. I think he knows too that his days were up. So, you know, obviously going to miss him. And certainly, you know, when I think of Jenkinson, I think of that goal at Norwich that he scored coming to the away fans and celebrating. That picture of him with his comforter in his childhood room with all of the Arsenal stuff around him, the king of banter. But yeah, I think, you know, for you, Carl, Jenkinson, not Carl on the call, for you, Carl, good luck with your career. I'm sure he's listening right now, and we wish him well. You know, and before we get into any more incoming, just running through the list of guys that have left, I'm sure we'll talk about a few of these guys, but we won't spend too much time before we get back to guys who have come into the club this transfer window. But as you can see on the list there, that's a lot of players that have gone. Bielik to Derby, one that folks had tipped for a bright future. Of course, our captain, Laurent Koscielny, going to Bordeaux. I want to talk about that in just a minute. Thompson to Brentford, Jenkinson, as we talked about. Takuma Asano, I don't think ever actually played a game for Arsenal. He was perpetually on loan. Kelechi Nunkwali has gone on a free. Ospina, of course, to Napoli. Amechi to Hamburger. Lichtsteiner had to go. But look at this list. Bramall, as you mentioned, we were just talking about him. Aaron Ramsey, of course, much publicized. Danny Welbeck turning up at Watford, so he can pop his head over the training ground wall. Of course, agent Petr Cech retired, went to Chelsea, and told David Luiz to sign for us. So let's go to that signing now. Let's talk about that. I don't know if it had been confirmed. What time are we at? About half seven UK time. I don't see it there, but there was commentary from some reputable sources that a deal sheet had been submitted, giving it an extra couple hours to get that one across the line. I think the same with Iwobi for Everton. David Luiz, I think, will polarize fans, but a much needed center back into the club. Carl, let's chat. David Luiz, what are your thoughts here at signing 32-year-old David Luiz from Chelsea?
I think the word necessary evil comes to mind. he's someone that you wouldn't necessarily want, but he's someone that we kind of need. I mean, I personally think he's a good stopgap until Saliba comes next season. You're right what you say, Jeff. He's going to polarise fans. He's someone who we know on his day, he's a very good defender. On the flip side, on his day, he's also a Mustafi. So for me, it's really hard because the guy has won everything that, you know, in football. He's won the Champions League, he's won the Europa, he's won the Premiership, he's won the FA Cup, he's won the League Cup. So he's a born winner. He genuinely is. Whether he's someone that Arsenal actually needs, probably not. You know, he's 32. He's, the way I see it is that if we sold Koscielny for 5, and we buy him for 8, technically we bought him for 3 million. You can't go wrong there. And if he should sign no more than probably a 2-year deal, maybe three. He's someone who can come in and do a job. There's no doubt that he would come in and do a job for us. And like I said, on his day, his distribution for me is brilliant as a centre back. He can definitely fire a pass and take a free kick and things like that. But is he someone who, at the start of the transfer window, I would have said, yes, we want? No. If you'd give me an option, I definitely would have said no. However, like I said, a necessary evil. He's someone who will come in and he will do a job for us. And he's not a bad signing, that's for sure. He's not like, oh my God, he's going to be the worst signing in the world. Is he the best? No. But he's a necessary evil. Someone who will come in, do a job for us until such time when we get the players that we actually want.
No, you made some excellent points there. And Danny, before I come to you, I'm going to just talk about David Luiz and sort of where my thoughts are. And I agree with a lot of what you said there, Carl. Here's my big concerns, and I tend to be an optimist. I think the way we play with a high line can expose David Luiz. I think that there could be some trouble in that for him. And also, I think we've talked about a lot on the pod, not necessarily myself, but some of the other guys, about the fact that we don't always have good midfield coverage. We don't have that midfield shield in front of our defense. So I think, you know, if you contrast that with like a Chelsea where you've got Conte patrolling the midfield. At Paris, he had guys like Verratti and Matuidi before he went to Juve. So I think there could be some concerns there. I've also in I don't watch a ton of Chelsea, but when I've seen him, I think he can be quite rash. So in terms of diving into the challenge at times, but there's something, you know, the flip side is, and I think that those are valid critiques of David Luiz. And we'll see how that impacts us from a defensive perspective. He's experienced, as you guys said. He's won just about everything there is to win in football, except for World Cup. I'm pretty sure he was in that Brazil defense that just got absolutely crushed by Germany a couple World Cups ago. He had a bit of a mare, but you know, tons of experience. He's 32. You know, from a financial perspective, Carl, I think you're right. It makes some sense, especially with Kajilny going. I don't think we expected Kajilny to go this window, but we haven't spent a lot of money. The link is a weird one. I think we saw some articles saying, you know, we've moved on to plan B for center backs, and he's kind of a guy that I know we've talked about in the past, especially the last couple windows, but this one, it kind of came out of nowhere in the last couple of days, especially when we were talking about guys like Regani and Upamecano from RB Leipzig. So he kind of came out of nowhere, but you know, then when we look at who his agent is, I believe it's Kia Jorgensen, who forgive my pronunciation of that, is an Arsenal guy, and we've been dealing with these super agents in this window, with something I want to come on to in a few minutes. You know, it kind of does make sense. Now, going forward, he's a ball-playing center back. That will help us. I think our distribution out of the back at times last season was weak. So it's, for me, hard to say how this one's going to play out. Hopefully for the best, because I am an optimist. It's the eve before the new season. So I expect every season for us to be in the top four at minimum. And I do think he makes us stronger from where we were just a day or two ago with Kajilny off. It's just does feel very much like a one or two season stopgap. And that's perhaps what it was. Danny, what do you think about the man with the hair coming from Chelsea?
I'm excited. I love it because I want to see him. I want to see Guendouzi. I want to see them in the middle, kicking people around with the hair. One more, we get the Hair Bear Bunch as an American TV show from, I think, the 70s and 80s. That's the kind of thing I'm looking forward to. But when you look at him as a player, we're looking at his stats here. Last season, 36 games, 3 goals in the Premier League. Season before that, 10-1. I think that's when he fell out with, was it Mourinho was manager for that part of the season? Or whoever it was, someone came in and they didn't like him. And we thought, we were linked with him a couple of years ago, but then he didn't turn up. Season before that, 33 games, but he joined Chelsea back from PSG after, I think it was quite close to the end of the transfer window, because they go a little bit longer than we do before you can do it. But if you're looking through his career, you see he's a centre-back who scores goals, which is something we don't really have. Koscielny was one who used to score a few goals for us. And that's the kind of thing that we need. I just like his experience. He's an international player. I don't know how many games has he played for Brazil. It's going to be quite a few. It's 56 games for Brazil. I always liked him when he was at Benfica. I thought he was a good player. And like you said, he's won so much stuff that he can only make the team better. I know people like Chris are going, oh, he's rubbish, we don't want him, and other people think he's a joke. He's not. If you're a footballer and you come up against him on the pitch, you're going to be worried. Someone with that much experience, and again, I'm bringing up the dark arts. He's no stranger to the dark arts, is he? That's what I like.
You got into better in that time, remember?
No, I remember nothing.
Oh, you don't know nothing.
No, I forget.
Arsenal are known as the nice team. And, you know, you can imagine him and Socrates at the back. Jesus Christ, like, you're going to come up, strikers to come up against those two and not going to look forward to running at those two. So I think, like I said, I think just the words necessary evil come to mind. And I just think that he will come in and he'll do a job for us. He's definitely going to want to prove something, you know, leaving Chelsea to go to Arsenal. He's going to want, definitely going to, you know, make sure he's made the right decision, because I don't know the reason why he wants to leave Chelsea, whether it's more money. He only signed a new deal in May. So, you know,
and it's only 8 million quid as well, considering, like you were saying, he's only just recently signed a new deal. So it's not like he's got 6 months left on his contract. 8 million quid for a 32-year-old Brazilian international who's won everything. Yeah, bargain. You'd have thought, I mean, how much would you reckon, Carl, that he should have cost? 30 million? 25 million in this crazy market?
Easily. I mean, if someone like Harry Maguire can go for 80 million, David Luiz probably would have been
28.
David Luiz easily would have been 30 million or 35 plus. So, you know, like I said, I think Arsenal have done some really smart business in this market. Like I said, David Luiz would not have been my first choice, second or even third choice. But he's someone that's come in, a net spend of £3 million. You can't complain.
No, it could be a stroke of genius. And just another point, I think, you know, with that amount of experience, having him around some of our younger center backs, you know, a guy at 32 generally is eager to share his knowledge. I know Socrates with Mavroponis. We've got Holding there, Chambers, who looks like we're going to keep for the season, play center back, play right back, play in the mid. Which I'm a big fan of, by the way, just holding on to him. He's not our first choice in any of those spots, but to have some of that versatility and that, some of that coverage, but have a guy like him around, David Luiz, it could be a positive thing. So, I definitely am hoping, that, it's a stroke of genius and not another, Sylvester, signing. So, again, we're waiting for that confirmation, but I think most known sources have said that. And by the time this is out, we'll 100% know whether David Luiz has come in or not. Let's talk about our defensive outgoings just briefly. We talked about Jenkinson already. Lichtsteiner was let go, I think quite rightly so. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on him. It just wasn't really what we needed last year in any way, shape, or form. But let's talk about Kojilny briefly. I mean, he was our captain. Talk about a polarization of fans this week. We knew it was quite likely he'd never play for Arsenal again after going on strike ahead of the preseason in America. But the way he went, I mean, the way it all kind of went down was, I don't know, I think spectacularly bad in terms of how it could have been. And you know, to taint one's legacy a bit in that way, given that he had been a terrific servant to the club, you know, is disappointing, especially since he seemed like a thoroughly likable guy up until the last month. Highs and lows in his career at Arsenal, certainly some, he scored in the FA Cup. He had a couple last day of the season, fourth place. I remember a goal against Newcastle in particular that ensured St. Tottenham's day. So going from those highs to against Birmingham in the League Cup, and of course against Atletico Madrid a couple years ago, where he managed to kick it off his own face and let Griezmann in. Danny, I'm going to go to you first. Where do you stand on Kojilny's exit? Is he? I'm not going to use the word legend because I don't think any of us would agree that he's a legend. But has he been a great servant to the club who deserves a bit more respect? Or the way that he went is sort of tarnished his legacy at Arsenal forever?
Well, we all know that Chris knows people in the higher echelons of French football. And he said, I've been told the gist of what's gone on, but I can't say it. And I said, let me have a guess, Chris. Koscielny's career was over and done with after the Atletico Madrid semi-final, the season before last. His career was done. Even Don was saying he's never going to play football. He probably will never play football again. He was coming up. He'd just gone 33. He's 34 this September. And it looked like, we all said, never going to play again. So he spent 9 months getting back to fitness. And then we thought, well, he's maybe get the odd game here or there. At one point, he played 6 games in 7. And I said to Chris, let me have a guess. They had some kind of gentleman's agreement that if you can come back from injury and if you can put your body on the line yet again after doing it for so many seasons. I mean, his Achilles have been knackered for the last 3, 4, 5 years. I don't know how long it is. And many other players would have retired in his position. And now he's had some kind of gentleman's agreement where, okay, I'll come back because you need me. I'll play to the end of the season. I'll give it my all. And then I've been at the club for 9 seasons. You let me go back to France. I'd like to finish another 1 or 2 years in France, a slower pace of football. He's gone to Bordeaux, a beautiful part of France. And I'd imagine they went, okay, you do that, we'll do this, everyone will be happy. And then this new season started, right, you're captain again, go on the pre-season. He goes, well, I'd like to go back and play in France like you said I could. No, you're not doing that, you're under contract. Well, no, I don't want to do that. And I imagine that's the situation. Because in modern day football, there is no place for loyalty or gentlemanliness-ship. Add all those words together, you're going to get what I'm on about. So I'm not annoyed of him at all. He made a stand that we know has put his career on the line for Arsenal so many times. He's not just going to suddenly do an Ashley Cole and go, I'm going up your bum, get lost, I'm doing what I want. No, there was talks, and I reckon that hurt him. The only bad thing was the release video for Bordeaux where he took off the Arsenal shirt and he had a Bordeaux shirt underneath. That wasn't classy. That was a bad move. And he'll probably look back at that in years to come and go, I shouldn't have done that. But to have played 353 games for Arsenal, scored 27 goals. I mean, that's nearly a goal every, 12, 13 games for Arsenal. For me, he's right up there with the likes of Steve Bould, who's not quite the Tony Adams, Martin Keogh and Sol Campbell level in my era, because I know Frank McClintock, and if you go back even further, but he's like a tier two of the tier one being the legends. He's tier two. He's brilliant. And I thank him for everything that he's done for the club. And I don't blame him at all, because we all know there's a new movement at the club. And I reckon there's some people that are putting the club before players, and maybe quite rightly, but he gets no grief from me.
No, you've got some good points. Carl, Danny still wants to dance with Koscielny. How about you?
I don't know. For me, and I said this before on one of the pods, you have a contract. You see that contract out until such time where you don't have a contract anymore. And I understand that what may have gone on behind the scenes, but I don't think that deal was made with the people who are at the club now, if that makes sense. So I think that deal may have been done with Ivan Gazidis or Arsene Wenger. I don't think the deal was made with anyone at the club currently now. So if and when that did happen, he went to the club and said, I would like to go back to France. And the club said, well, no, we don't want you to go back to the club. I hope to go back to France and we want you to stay here and, you know, for one more season. I just don't think downing tools is the way to do it. I can't do that. If my manager at work tells me, Carl, you've got to do something, I can't just go to my manager and say, no, I'm not doing it, and just refuse, because I'd be fired. Do you know what I mean? And these, in extent, these pampered footballers, you know, his guy is on, £90,000 a week. You know, he just refuses to do his job for and he gets paid £90,000 a week. None of us will know what happened behind closed doors. And, you know, I could be getting this totally wrong. And but what Danny said, I think is, you know, quite to the point. That's what probably more than likely happened. Until either Koscielny or the club come out and actually explain what happened, we can only speculate. Like Danny said, I think he put his body on the line for Arsenal, and he's done some wonderful things for Arsenal. He came on the football pitch and he always gave his all. He always gave his best. He came up with some brilliant goals at some crucial times. Yeah, you could talk about, you know, the Birmingham City game, which was probably one of the lowest points in his whole footballing career, to be honest. And, you know, like you said, he tore his Achilles and everyone thought, okay, that's him finished. He'll never see him in an Arsenal shirt. And he came back strong. And like I said, sometimes he was playing too many games at once, but it was a needs must. I think the way he left under a cloud will be his legacy, because people will always remember the last thing that happened. They won't remember the times where he put his body on the line. They won't remember, you know, the things that he did for us. Unfortunately, like Danny said, that video that he done, I just think was very poorly tasted, and I just think that he shouldn't have done it, and I think he will regret it. I think he regrets it right now, to be honest. I'm not too sure why he did it. Obviously, Bordeaux wanted him to do it, and he just agreed with it. I don't think he meant it in the way that Arsenal fans took it, but obviously, as Arsenal football fans, we are quite passionate, and, you know, straight away we jumped in the bandwagon and thought that's kind of a disrespectful thing that he done, just because of, you know, him refusing to go on the pre-season tour and him effectively going on strike. So it was poor tasted, but, you know, I thank him for his services and what he done for Arsenal. He played well for us, and he brought us through some bad times, and for a very long time he was our best defender. I think towards the end of his career, you know, when injuries came in, he wasn't as good as he could and should have been, but you can't fault him for what he done on the pitch. Like Danny said, I do put him in like the second tier of, you know, you talk about Arsenal footballers or the defenders. He done very well for us, but, you know, how he left under a cloud, that will always be the legacy that I think he's left with most of the Arsenal fans.
No, I think well said, Carl. I think, you know, to add my two cents to this conversation, I like to think that I hold my captain to a higher standard. But then in thinking about it, our captains have all had a spectacular way of exiting this club. So maybe that's in line with past captains that we've had, at least recently, at the Arsenal. But you know, I wish him well, and that's it. I don't have a ton of feeling around it about whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think he was a tremendous servant for the club, and I don't want to degrade that. It was unfortunate and bad decision making in how they did that announcement video. But let me ask you this, and it's something worth, I think, just a bit of a conversation. It sort of reflects on our transfer window as a whole. Certainly, I want to talk about some specific players still. But as we bring up Kajilny, I think, you know, as we look at this, I think this is a situation that we got ourselves in because we were not able to get Champions League football. And I think there's a few situations around that have really impacted our transfer window, not just in how much we spend, but who we actually got, who left the club. I think what's happened with Kajilny, and I've read a few articles on it, is that he did have that gentleman's agreement that he could go this summer. But when the club didn't make the Champions League, they took the option to extend his contract for a season because they knew they needed center backs just for that next season. They had Saliba coming in, but we're going to loan him back out. So they thought they needed him for defensive coverage. And I think that probably contributed. I think if we get Champions League, we have the money with Champions League. I think they say for sure, Kajilny, you can go. They don't pick up that contract extension. I think for sure he's a guy that leaves. He leaves on a high, and we would be maybe talking about different things in terms of how Kajilny has exited the club. So I do think that made an impact, and I also do think that not making the Champions League, which should have been in the bag, we had numerous chances to just get that last point. And then even when that was gone, just getting a performance in the Europa League final, which I'm not going to spend too much time talking about, it just would have gotten us there. But I think another player that was really impacted by that was Wilfried Zaha. There were a lot of rumors going around that he was a guy that Emery set his sights on after the Palace game at home, where he scored that goal to defeat Arsenal. There was a lot of talk that he was a guy that we said, you know what, we want you at Arsenal. We're going to, you know, if we make Champions League, we're going to get a big money deal for you. And we didn't make that happen, didn't materialize. And as it stood, I think he still wanted to come to Arsenal. He sort of fell in love with the idea. And again, I could be talking total bollocks here, but this is just based off sort of the rumors that I saw. And it didn't end up materializing for him. It looked like Palace wanted a lot of money. And in the end, it looked like that dropped, but that was after we went in for Pepe. So, you know, that whole not making it in the Champions League, it really changed, I think, some of the dynamics of this window for us. And I think Kajilny and a guy like Zaha, who we didn't end up signing in favor of Pepe, which I think there's a really good argument to say that Pepe might be the better player, club record signing. I think there was some big impacts from or some downstream effects from not being in the Champions League. Again, it's just my theories on this, but definitely interesting to talk about. Thoughts on that, Danny? We didn't make the Champions League. How big of an impact do you think it had on our transfer window?
Well, if you would have told me, okay, weird scenario, here's my brain working. If you wouldn't have told me how the end of last season went, and you'd have showed me the signings we've made this summer and gone, did we make the Champions League or not? I'd have gone, well, of course we made the Champions League. We spent, 130 million quid. We've cleared out loads of players. The club is taking massive strides forward in the Champions League. And then you go, no, we didn't. We didn't qualify. We were runners up. We were in the Europa League for the third season in a row. Look, where does all this money come from? Clever wheeling and dealing. It's getting into bed with all the super agents, which is something that Wenger refused to do. It's something that we're now doing. We're now dancing with the devil, and apparently we're getting some good deals out of it. So you can't stick to morals for the entire of your football, because as we have seen over the last few years, if you have morals in football, you're going to get nowhere. So we've shown the super agents a little glimpse of our buttocks, and they're up for it. So far from that.
No, it's good. You've left Carl speechless here. Let's go to Carl. What do you think? I mean, missing out on the Champions League, has that had as big an impact as we thought it would on this transfer window? And what are your thoughts around that?
I think that if we had made the Champions League, I don't think we would have had long drawn out transfer sagas like Tyranny. Like I think that deal gets done much earlier in the season. I think that Zaha does come in rather than probably Pepe, or even both. I think whether we would have paid that what Crystal Palace were asking for, I don't think so. I very much doubt we would ever be able to pay that money for Zaha, because he's definitely not worth it. That's for sure. I think we would have made other signings most definitely. I think we had to be restricted to having loan signings. So, I don't know. I think we definitely would have had different signings. I think not getting in Champions League has definitely affected what we could have spent. I mean, the rumours of 45 million for the summer. I always said I just very much doubt we got 45 million to spend for the whole summer. A club the size of Arsenal Football Club has to have more, most definitely. And it could turn out to be, because if we do end up selling one of our players who we'll talk about later, our net spend could be about 45 mil. So I think that the Champions League has definitely affected us, and I still think that's the place we need to be. You know, in order to attract some of the best players around Europe, some of the best footballers in Europe, or even the world, call it that, we need to be in the Champions League, because that's where every player wants to be. And, the money, the difference in money from the Europa to the Champions League is just astronomical. It really is. I think for winning a game in the Champions League, you get like 2 million. And I think for winning the whole Europa League, you get something like 10 million. So it just shows the difference in the money. And hopefully with the squad that we've assembled, that we'll get back to the Champions League and start buying, the better players around Europe. That's not to say the players we've got are not good, but I just think that, there are other places in the squad that we need to fix, So hopefully that we'll get to Champions League and we'll start getting where we need to be.
It's an interesting comment that you make, we think that potentially, and I agree, I think potentially Zaha would have been an Arsenal player if we made Champions League. But what's really interesting about it is that not making Champions League, a guy like Tierney, you say maybe we got to get that deal done. Would we have paid over the odds for Tierney? Did not making the Champions League, and I agree, first of all, this is going to sound like not making the Champions League was a good thing. But I agree, we absolutely have to be in the Champions League. Arsenal's a massive club. We don't have a right to be there, but certainly on the balance of things, we were 1 point out last season. We should be in that Champions League, and all expectations should be that we will be in the Champions League after this season. I mean, it certainly is there. But as a point, did not making the Champions League force us to really prioritize things, to really grind the deals? We had some transfer sagas that carried out. It's an interesting comment to make, because I think you can poke at it and say, maybe we did better business for not making it. Now, on the flip side, I believe if we made Champions League, we would have gone big on a center back signing. I think a guy like Upamecano from Leipzig would have probably been in the conversation, maybe in the side. And it's hard to argue that he wouldn't make us better. Young French international, potentially the future center back starter for our club. But you know, it is interesting how we've gone about business and who we have gotten in. Now, looking at Pepe, here's a guy that many clubs were in for. We weren't the only one. I think at the end it was Napoli and us, but certainly links with Manchester United and others. We did get that one across the line, and that was, I think, a big part in terms of the lure of Arsenal Football Club even being in Europa League. So there is a push and a pull. I don't think we'll ever know what really would have happened, obviously, but certainly an interesting discussion to have. Now, looking at Pepe, I know Danny and Chris did quite a good podcast about Pepe just over a week ago. So, listeners, if you're listening, go check that out. We're not going to spend a lot of time on Pepe, but really quickly, I'm going to go back to you, Carl. You just handed it back to me, but I'm going to go back to you. You haven't had a chance to weigh in on this sign, I think, unless I'm not caught up and listening to the pods. What are your thoughts on Pepe coming in? Club record signing.
Yeah, you're hoping that he's going to do well. And just breaking news, David Luiz has just signed for Arsenal, by the way. So that's
you heard it here first, everybody.
I personally think that he is something that we need. You know, when we're getting rid of a player who will run out teams, which we'll talk about in a minute. But for me, I'm not going to claim to say I've watched him for ages. I haven't. I've seen on odd occasions where I've watched a bit of French football, and I don't watch a lot of it, if I'm being honest.
Nobody does.
He watches that. It's like watching Scottish football, to be honest, like same part. But no, in all seriousness, from what I've seen, like you can't sniff at a person who, I think he scored, 21 goals last season and 11 assists. You know, no matter what league you play in, you've got to take your hat off, and that obviously draws attention to player, especially if he's playing wide right. I know people say he scored, I think, something like 6 or 7 penalties in that, but that's irrespective. That doesn't mean anything. You know, this is a guy who he was into double figures and he scored over 20 goals. I'm sure it's 20 goals he scored last season.
It's up on the screen.
Oh, sorry. All right. 22 goals in bloody 38 appearances. That's brilliant. So for me, that is brilliant. Even if it is in a Farmers League, that for me is really, really good. So definitely he's going to draw attention, and hopefully he can come and do that. I mean, our front line, you know, you're talking Lacazette, you're talking Pepe and Aubameyang. That is a frightening front three for anyone, especially with Ozil behind them. Ooh, I think we are going to score a lot of goals, and hopefully we don't waste a lot of opportunities. For me, this guy, he's coming in, he hopefully settles in really, really quickly. I think he's just what Arsenal needs, and he will give a lift. Can you imagine him running at a defender, you know, like I said, in front of him, Aubameyang in front of him? Well done to Arsenal. I just think we've signed a real gem. And like I said, Chris will probably tell you loads more about him. But from what I've seen, and I'm not going to say I've seen loads because it's not been, he's a very good, direct, young player. He will get us goals.
No, it's a good point. And I think you mentioned about his penalties. I seem to recall Chris mentioning that, yes, he did score a number of penalties last season, but he earned them as well. So, something to be said about that. I'm excited about Pepe. Again, I'm like you, I haven't seen a lot of him, you know, because I don't watch the French league, but he seems to be a direct runner. He's got some pretty good stats in terms of dribbling. And we've been crying out for a winger for ages and ages, somebody who can be effective in the wings. What will be interesting to see is if Emery deploys him as a winger and asks him to stay wide, or if he gives him that license to roam that we see in some of our other wingers. And that's a question I ask because I don't think if you were to watch the way we played last year, it was a really good signal as to how Emery is going to play. I think that was down to some of the players that he had. You know, a guy like Mkhitaryan is more naturally central. So we would start him on the wing and then he would float centrally, or he would move around. But now we've got – Emery's got a natural winger. It would be very interesting to see how Pepe is deployed and where he takes his space. And the other thing that's cool about Pepe that I was watching his interview on Arsenal.com, he started his career as a keeper until he was about 13 or 14 years old. So interesting that he made a comment that he knows where keepers will move and their movement, and that helps him. So tremendously exciting signing from my perspective. I know, Danny, you spoke about it on pod last week. Is there anything you would want to add about Pepe? Maybe something we've missed or something that, you know, are you happy about it? Anything you want to add?
I'm very happy about it. But when I first heard that we were signing Pepe for 72 million, I thought, what, the Real Madrid centre back who's buggered off to Portugal? Why shouldn't he be on a free? That's how much I knew about Pepe.
Well, that's fair.
That's true.
Oh, you said something that made me think. So you said, do you think he will be given a free role, or do you think we can afford to have that? I mean, with the attacking talent in our squad, and you know, like you said, our midfield don't really cover the defense. Do you think we can afford to have him being like roaming free without, because of obviously the potential of being counterattacked? Do you think he has to stay wide and obviously give protection to either Bellerin and or a another?
So a great question. So I think my personal opinion on it is that I think keeping him out of that central roaming space will be critical. I think Ozil needs space to move in behind that front three. He can't have players running through there. However, that said, I do think we may see situations where Pepe and, let's say, Aubameyang, if he's on the other wing, are switching sides. But they're still maintaining that positional responsibility of protecting our fullbacks, especially if they're getting forward. It also, you know, with the way our fullbacks play, it puts a huge responsibility in our more defensive-minded mids. I don't think we have center defensive midfielders, but we tend to play more deep lying playmakers, but they're going to have to be shifting over and covering the wings if one of our outside backs get forward. But you know, to your point, I'd be a little disappointed if I saw, you know, the center of the pitch up front getting crowded out with guys like Ozil, Mkhitaryan, Aubameyang and Pepe. So I do think there is a need to keep that defense, that positional awareness, keep them wide. Certainly, you know, attack when they can, get into the box when they can, but certainly keeping those lanes through the center of the park open, so that we have that tactical flexibility to be able to pass through the middle as well as go up the outside. So, I mean, that's just my thoughts. I don't know, Carl, if you agree, but that's what I'd like to see.
I mean, yeah, I think Arsenal's defense has not ever been the strongest, and I just think I would hate for have too many attacking players on the pitch running forward and leaving our defense exposed. Like you said, the defending's got to start, maybe even from the forwards, but definitely the midfields. And whether you have the likes of Torreira or Xhaka or whoever's going to play in center midfield, I think that I would hate to see a load of other teams attacking us from wide and having the likes of like Pepe and Aubameyang and Ozil all up the pitch without tracking back. I know we always say that Ozil's defensive mind is not the best, and so be it. If he's an attacking player, then it is what it is. But I personally would like you said, I hate to see a load of players all in the center of the pitch and then one long ball to the wide takes us a whole team out, and it's literally like 2-on-1 versus Bellerin or Tierney or whoever's playing in the wide area. So I think our defensive situations need to be just a little bit more stronger, because there were many times last season where you had players high up the pitch and one pass took out a whole team, and it's literally like maybe two or three players right on our centre backs, and that's what kind of makes defensive mistakes or reasons why we conceded 51 goals in the Premier League last season.
No, it's a good point. So and I agree, you know, having that one pass to take out our players, it did happen quite a bit, especially towards the end of the season where it looked like the legs had gone a little bit. That's an interesting one to kind of watch and see. You know, the other thing last year is we started off, it looked like we were going to deploy a press, and it just sort of fizzled into nothing very, very early on in the season, or we would press for the first 10 minutes of a game and then we'd drop off. So it'd be interesting to see if Emery really pushes them to deploy that press, give the whole team the option to the option to defend, start defending from the front, and as you say, seeing if our wingers can track back and pick up guys. So going from one winger to another, Danny, I'm going to come to you on this one. We brought in Pepe. It looks like Everton have done a deal today for Arsenal's own Alex Iwobi. I think I saw a number, £25 million, which could go up to £40 million based off performances and things like that. And again, those numbers are just what I read on social media, so could be completely wrong. But Danny, Alex Iwobi looks like he's left the club or is leaving the club again. He was on a deal sheet once the window closed. Talk to me about Alex Iwobi. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Well, if you look on screen now, we can see Premier League-wise, he scores one goal every 10 games. Now, whether that was at the beginning of his career in 15-16 when he came in as a young player, because he's still very young now, whether he came in just to cover and didn't get many starting games, but the number of games he's played in the last season, 3 goals in 35 games. I think at one point last season, he had played more number of minutes than any one of our other players. And I think by the end of the season, I think he was top three without going and having a look at it. But you can't be that kind of player and not get more goals. We can't have that. I mean, you'd expect a centre-back to get 3 goals a season. You would hope a wing-back would get maybe 4-5 goals a season. You can't be one of our front three and do that. Sure, as eggs are eggs, Pepe is going to play roughly in the same position, hopefully, maybe, because he can use either side. If Pepe plays 35 Premier League games next season, I'd hope he'd be in double figures, not in single figures. But 11 goals from 4 seasons in the Premier League is atrocious. And then when you think 149 games overall and 15 goals, that is 1 in 10. That is absolutely, it's just very, very poor. And although for last season I voted for Iwobi as one of my players of the season, because I think he improved massively last season than he had at any others. That his pace, his ability to turn people, his crossing, but it was always mid Premier League sides kind of player that he is, because he's just not an Arsenal player. For the direction we want to go, typifies the Arsene Wenger era of he tries, like Theo Walcott. He tried, the Ox, they tried. We don't want people who try, we want people who do it, and he just wasn't doing it. And I hope he does brilliantly Everton. I'd love to see him and Walcott tearing the Premier League apart half when they play us, because they've both got something in them, but he just couldn't turn it on for us, which is a real shame.
No, it's a good point. For me personally, I found Iwobi one of the most frustrating players. It's a personal opinion, but when I watched him play, I wanted to get behind him. I mean, he's been at Arsenal since something like he was 6 years old or 8 years old, very, very young, come through the youth ranks. You want those guys to succeed, but I found him tremendously frustrating to watch. You know, a guy who could go on a lightning run, get past 2 or 3 players and then play the ball almost out to the corner flag on the shot. I found his body language at times, it drove me absolutely bonkers in the way that he showed up on the pitch sometimes. So for me, I wish him well, you know, no hard feelings, but I'm kind of glad to see him go. I know not everyone will agree with that, but again, I just don't think he was at the quality that Arsenal needed. The argument that he's a young player, that he'll continue to grow, is great, but I don't think we saw a ton of development over the last couple of years that would indicate that he's going to push on and be that elite winger that we really wanted. And the club seemed to have gotten good money. I think I read, you know, if we get, you know, we get to that 40 million mark, that's a club record sale for Arsenal. So 2 records in the same transfer window, Pepe coming in, Iwobi on the way out. For us, you know, it generates some cash potentially going into the January window where we were going to want to do probably a couple more deals. I still think there's that long-term center back out there for us that we may push for, maybe another winger. But it will be going, I think, does benefit the club. I could eat my words, of course, but you know, the flip side is that it also creates some opportunities for some young players of the club that may have recently been on loan or impressed in preseason. Carl, where do you stand on Alex Iwobi? You know, what are your thoughts with his exit? You know, are you going to miss him, or is this a good deal for Arsenal?
I was never Alex Iwobi's biggest fan, never at all. I think that all huff and no puff. I think his end product was atrocious. Like you said, the stats that he brought for us is just not good enough. You know, I'm just looking at it now. 100 games. Is that 100 games in the Premier League, Danny, that he's played? And 11 goals.
Yeah, that's it. 19 assists.
Yeah, that's no way near good enough. That's Pepe's done that in one season. And he's taken Alex Iwobi 100 games. So for me, it just shows, you know, we can all stand on ceremony and say, oh yeah, he was an Arsenal boy, he's come through the ranks. And, you know, the same could have been said of Jack Wilshere, and Jack Wilshere just wasn't good enough to, unfortunately, Jack Wilshere was injury prone, but, you know, he just wasn't good enough to play for Arsenal. And am I going to miss Alex Iwobi? No, because he was frustrating. You know, he would do all the hard work. He'd beat two or three players and you think, oh my God, he's brilliant. And then the end product would be really, really bad. You know, some, like Jeff said, you know, he would beat two players and then play a ball and then end up at the corner flag. Unfortunately, you know, we haven't got time for sentiment anymore. Arsenal need to change. You know, we've done that too many times. We've held players at Arsenal for just because they were an Arsenal lad and they could have left a long time ago. For the money that we've got for him, the reported money that we've got for him, if it is between 35 and 40 million, Arsenal have done an absolutely brilliant piece of business there. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, hats off to them. Congratulations. I wish him all the best. Like you said, like, he was never a bad person. You know, you never saw, for a young football player, you never saw him in the newspapers. You never saw him doing badness at all. He was literally, he just went on the football pitch and done his job. However, he's another one at Arsenal who, unfortunately, I'm not saying he's a bad player, because he's not a bad player. He's just not good enough for Arsenal. And I hope he goes to Everton and he does wonders. I hope he scores loads and loads of goals at Everton. Hopefully not against Arsenal. Hopefully against, you know, Tottenham and things like that. But for us, he just wasn't good enough. I'm not overly happy that he's gone, but I'm not sad. I'm not sad at all. He's not a player that I'm going to worry about that he's left. Do you know what I mean? He done a job for us. He wasn't good enough. Alex Iwobi, we thank you for your service, but goodbye.
No, I don't think I could add anything else to that, Carl. I did start to mention, Danny, that this potentially creates some opportunity for some of the youngsters. One of the guys that looked good in preseason was Reece Nelson, who was, of course, on loan to Hoffenheim last season.
Yeah.
And certainly seemed to have a pretty decent start in the Bundesliga when he got there. But yeah, your thoughts. I mean, does Iwobi leaving give some opportunities to some of the younger players that may be impressed in preseason, and should we expect more of a contribution from them with a guy like Freddie Ljungberg as assistant coach?
I think partly it's going to be the likes of I think that Emil Smith Rowe is going to go on loan. I know that the Leipzig were trying to buy him or get him in some kind of swap deal with, including their centre back, but he can play on the wide right. Nelson can play any of those and play that position as well. So I think it's not going to be the bloke who played last season has gone. you, young man, are going to go and play every game that he did. I think that position will be spread out between two or three players, depending not just on the competition, not just on form or who's available, but on, because you know, you can go and have a run of a couple of games and come on as a sub, and then you can have a couple of games. And so everyone's going to get eased into that position, because I don't think anyone is 100% ready of the young players just to come straight into that position and to take over from the role that Iwobi did, as playing so many minutes last season. It's really important that we don't force that upon someone so young, because we've seen it in previous seasons with so many players. You ask a young player to do too much too soon, it can ruin them. But like our very own John Welsh just tweeted, sad to see Iwobi go, but it means Nelson, Saka, etc. get more chances. I know he wasn't everyone's favourite, but he does. Hope he does well at Everton. And Kelly from Canada has put, I'm not. And Chris has put, wash your dirty something mouth out.
It's all kicking off on Twitter.
Oh, so that's why I didn't screen grab that, because Chris has used an F-bomb towards Kelly. Whoa. And Canadians don't like the bad language, do they?
No, they do not.
It's not acceptable.
Bloody pirate.
Unbelievable. He's gotten loose. No, I mean, I think good points here. And, you know, we talked, Danny, you were talking about super agents earlier, but, you know, the entire transfer window, I think we needed to be ruthless this window. And probably the first time we've really seen that in a long time at Arsenal Football Club. Lots of praise being heaped on Raul Sinley. And I think the last pod I was on, it must have been in, you know, before that last run of games that we lost. But we were talking about how critical this transfer window was going to be for Arsenal Football Club. And the fact, I think at the time Sven had left, there was a lot of concern that we had guys that really hadn't proven that they could be good through a window. I think all of us are a bit surprised at how the window played out, from you know, reported fees that we had to work with, to beating some of our rivals, to players like Pepe, to seeing a bit of a ruthlessness. I don't think there's any other way to look at Iwobi as to saying, you know, he's not good enough, he's gone. And to sort of see that out of Arsenal, I think having gone through numerous transfer windows with this club and feeling like we've held back or we haven't spent the money we could to improve, you know, we've had some really bad transfer windows over the ages. To see what's happened here in this window, I mean, I think on the balance of things, you've got to be impressed with Ruthless FC. And in Raul Sinley, it certainly looks like we may have the Spanish David Dean on our side in terms of, you know, I think, did he make the, was it him that made the comment that it, when Arsenal knocks, it's a different type of knock? You know, yeah. I love to see that. We've been crying out for a guy like that. And as much as we wanted to talk about Stats FC and Sven Mislintat and his golden eye, football is in a lot of clubs still an old boys club. And, you know, as much as it's modernized in things like training and nutrition and formations, and I think we still needed a bit of a guy that knew the network. And in Sanlehi, you know, it looks like we've got that guy. Ivan Gazidis came from the MLS. He really wasn't from the world of European football. We've gotten Adu in. You know, we've talked a lot about players that we brought in, but, you know, we've got a technical director now at the club. We've been talking about that since Wenger left. You know, who was going to be that guy. And I think in hearing, we've been in talks with him since sort of the Christmas timeline, which sort of matches up with when Sven left. But certainly we saw a completely different club in the transfer window, one that I think was overdue. We've been excited to see. We've seen some sales, Iwobi the latest, but I don't think we're done. European window doesn't close till September. We could still see some outgoings with Elneny potentially in a deal to go to Turkey, I think Galatasaray, and Mustafi's name being mentioned. You know, we've talked about him a lot on this podcast, talked about a lot in social media. He potentially could go to a club in France. I think Monaco was the last team I saw him linked with.
Because their windows don't all close on the same date either.
That's true.
Close after a couple of games of the windows. They're the couple of games after the season starts. But I've just updated the ABW website, and I've added David Luiz on Chelsea, 8 million. He was on roughly 120 grand. A week at Chelsea. I doubt very much that he's took a pay cut to come to Arsenal. I think the fact that he's on such a high wage will be the reason why we got him for $8 million, so Chelsea could get him off their wages. But then you have a look. We've had a net spend of $92.7 million. That's madness. But there again, look, we've saved £140,000 a week on wages. And we've had a massive – the last time we had to clear out this big was 2004 after we did with the Invincibles, and 32 players from all levels of the club left. And that is just absolutely amazing. I'd like to know what Chelsea fans think about Luiz going, because isn't he a bit of a free kick specialist as well? I mean, I don't think he scores that many because he only gets 3 or 4 goals a season. But isn't he a bit of a danger from free kicks?
He is, but I think also because Chelsea can't bring anyone in until January, personally, I think that he was a defensive cover. I mean, I'm just trying to think of the Chelsea's centre-backs. You've got Christensen, you've got Rudiger, you have... Who else am I missing?
Azpilicueta, the letter bloke. I think he covers at full-back and centre-back.
So Chelsea are not blessed with centre-backs either. So them selling David Luiz, I mean, I think it's a point where the player says, I don't want to stay here. You know, I think it comes to a point where Chelsea said, okay, cool, we're going to have to cash in on you. 32-year-old, 8 million, get him off your wage bill. But I'm quite shocked that Chelsea kind of let him go that easily. So,
Christensen, the Danish bloke, he's the
back they've got. Yeah, Christensen.
Kurt Zouma, we were linked with him.
Oh, yeah, Zouma. I forgot Zouma's there.
He was on loan last season.
So you're talking about, what, 3 centre-backs they've got.
Mm. They have a transfer ban too, though, so they can't bring anyone in.
No, not until January. They can't bring anyone until January. So, you know, I suppose in January they will have to. They've got no choice. They're going to have to buy somebody. But I'm quite sure they let him go. But like I said at the start of the show, and I think we all would agree that he would not have been our first, second, or even third choice call for a centre back. But he does a job. Like I said, he will take free kicks. He's got a touch of the dark arts about him. So he will, obviously, you know, him. I just think of him and Socrates at the back. It's either going to be a car crash or it's going to be absolutely brilliant. There's going to be no in between. But he's a stopgap, and that's what exactly he is. No one's saying he's going to come in and be our centre-back for the next 2 or 3 years. I genuinely think he will be at Arsenal for 2 years and then he'll go.
If he's a two-year deal, Carl.
Yeah, so there you go. I just think that's be it until Saliba comes in, and then he'll help blood Saliba in, and then he's gone.
Do we know anybody here know anything about Dani Ceballos from Real Madrid? Bit of a wonder kid when they got him, didn't they? Get him from Betis, and he was like the next great hope. And they paid quite a lot of money for him, and they've said when we've loaned him, it's like we said, their £3.6 million loan, $54,000 a week is what he was on at Real Madrid. And I don't think when you go on loan, I think you just cover the player's wages or a percentage of them. Now I doubt very much we're not going to be paying 100% of them, but yeah, they said there's no sell-on fee, a sell-on clause. So you know, like a lot of players, you have him on loan for a year and then the guarantee you got to buy him after. They don't want that, so I think they really rate him. And we've seen him in a couple of pre-season friendlies, and he looks very. I remember at one point he was running down near the touchline, and he had 3 players on him, and he managed to get past and around all of them as they were kicking him. I thought that's the kind of industrious, get stuck in, the kind of thing Ramsey did, and I think he could be an ideal replacement from the very little that I've seen from him. Because again, I had no idea. When I heard the name Dan, I had to think of Minogue. I thought maybe we hadn't signed Danny Minogue. It's going to be better than Elneny, but might get some great sales.
I think you're right, Danny. I think he's an interesting player. You know, young. He's only on loan for a season. He's going to have a lot to prove. I think there were some assurances in terms of games that he was going to play in order to get him here. I think he was another guy that I think Tottenham were in for him. Wanted to bring him in on loan, and he's an interesting player. From what I've seen in preseason, what I like, and you sort of mentioned it, is that getting up and down the pitch a bit like Ramsey. I don't know if he has the engine that Ramsey does, but I don't think many players do. But he also seems to, in addition to that work rate and getting up the pitch, maybe getting himself in the box for a goal or two, he also looks like he can drive the ball forward. And that was a trait that we lost in Jack Wilshere. So I'm not going to sit here and say he's the love child of Jack Wilshere and Aaron Ramsey, but certainly there are some qualities there that make me excited. I'm very excited to see how he plays out. Could he be the piece in our midfield that we've been missing or that we lost in Aaron Ramsey? I think potentially yes. an exciting signing. And I know we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the signings that we made earlier in the summer because we've been really focused today on Tierney and Luiz. But yeah, I'm excited about this guy. I don't think in what I've read about him that there is really any threat of us convincing him to stay. I mean, maybe if he has a fantastic season. But everything I've read about him, he is very much a Spanish boy. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's been pretty well publicized. He's been very outspoken about players that are of Catalan descent, if you will. He's come out and, you know, criticized guys like Fabregas and Piqué for wearing the Catalan flag when Spain won the World Cup. And he seems to have that a bit of a national pride about him, I would say, in that he probably very much sees himself as a Madridista in the future. So I don't think he's the type of guy, unless he spends all of his days with Hector Bellerin learning Cockney slang, I just don't think he's the guy who's going to be long term. And if he works out, that'll be a shame. But again, with you know, our transfer activity hampered potentially by that lack of Champions League, could be a very shrewd signing. Again, a guy who I think he sees his long term at Madrid. He's got a season to prove that he should be there. And Madrid's midfield, you know, Modric, Toni Kroos, they're getting older. So this guy very well, you know, with a big season could be the long-term Madrid future. But, you know, we take him. Well, let's benefit from him while we have him. Maybe we can convince him with a pie from Piebury Corner to stay. but yeah, I'm excited about this signing, even if it is a loan. Carl, what are your thoughts on Dani Ceballos?
I hope that he comes in and does a very good job. I think, you know, the easiest thing to compare him to is a Aaron Ramsey replacement. And I think those two players are very different players. We definitely needed a centre midfield, and hopefully he will come in and he will just do what's required. Like you said, OG, I just don't think that he's going to stay at Arsenal unless he has like an absolutely wonderful season and he falls in love with London and he wants to stay. But, you know, hopefully for this season, he will come in. And I think this is also a way of showcasing his talent so he can play brilliantly for Arsenal and then go back to Real Madrid and say, look, see how good I am? Play me. Like you said, Toni Kroos is getting on and Luka Modric hasn't got long left. I think maybe, what, two, maybe this, maybe his last season even, because he's easily, what, 33 now? Maybe even older. So I think that this will be a showcase for his talent. He'll come to Arsenal. He's on a win-win, because whether he does well or whether he doesn't do well, you know, he's going to go back to Real Madrid and he'll probably get into their team, I think. But this is definitely something for him to prove. He's definitely seemed to showcase his talent, not just to Real Madrid, but to the world as well. No matter what I know Real Madrid are a big football club, but he may not be a first choice there. At Arsenal, I've got a feeling he will be first choice. So, like you said, when Arsenal play, their worldwide audience is just phenomenal. And I'm not saying that we're bigger than Real Madrid, not in the slightest, because we're not. But it's a different way to showcase your talent and come out and just to prove just how good you are. And it's almost like when you go away and you, like, you say to your parents, like, look what I've done, when they go away for a weekend. It's kind of what he's done. You know, he's gone away. He's going to showcase his talent, see how good he is. Real Madrid will come back and say, oh yeah, you're really, really good. Come into our first team. So, you know, I really hope that he does well for Arsenal and hopefully he links up and he gets the ball rolling straight away. And whether he'll start against Newcastle, I'm not too sure. But, you know, hopefully he'll just come on and just do well for us. That's what I want. I want all our players, no matter who we've signed, if they come to Arsenal, I want every single one to do well. Even David Luiz, he's not my favourite player and I'm not going to say I like him, but he's now an Arsenal player and I will support him to do well. I want him to come into Arsenal, do well. You know, yes, he played for Chelsea. It is where it is. We can't change that, but he's now an Arsenal player and I'm going to give him all my support and hopefully he does brilliantly.
No, it's well put. Just doing a time check here. I think we're just over an hour and a quarter. Would like to maybe wrap things up in the next 15 to 20 minutes here, guys. Danny's just put in the chat that David Luiz looks like he's taken the 23. So Sol's old number. Very interesting. And not the vacant six. I think he was I think he was number 30 at Chelsea last year, if I'm not mistaken.
What was Salt's number when he was? It was 23 when he first.
It was 23, and then it was Arshavin after him.
It was 31 in his second. I couldn't. And I checked and went, "Oh, I think I might be wrong."
Yeah. So we're going to wrap this up. All right, we're going to wrap this up. So I have a question for both of you. Everyone is fit at Arsenal. I know. What is your starting 11?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can all agree on Leno, can't we?
Yeah.
And Bellerin.
Bellerin right back. Who's your this would be
Holding? Let's go Holding, center back.
I'd go Holding and Pappy.
Yeah, I think that's what I'd go to. I'd probably agree that's with the top you. One. Yeah, so we're good. Tierney, fully fit, left back.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we playing a 4-2-3-1 kind of thing?
I think that's
what we think. Is that the formation?
Yeah.
So who are our two center mids? I mean, that's really going to be where the rubber hits the road, because I think the rest pretty much picks itself.
Torreira and Danny for me.
Torreira and Danny. Anyone different for you, Carl?
Torreira definitely gets in, and probably I'd have to agree with you.
I think that's probably a good shout as well. Although I have a soft spot for Guendouzi, but that's going to drive people mental. I don't think he's in our two that would fit in there.
The only alternative to that would be to Torreira deep, Xhaka middle, and Danny in playing behind them, the front three, if when Ozil decides after 10 games that he can't be bothered.
You could do that. And I think there's some interesting shouts in that center of the park position because, again, not in our top two right now, but a guy who impressed vastly in preseason was Willock. In that spot as well. So again, he's not going to get in there before those two, but a shout out to him, and hopefully we see a lot of them this season. In the Europa League, right?
On what we're going to do with the Europa League. Like, if it's going to be the same as last season, group games, all the kids are going to get games, and then when we get to the next stage, January transfer window, they'll all go out on loan, like a few of them did this time. I think we could well see that. So I think we can have one team for the Premier League, one team for the Europa League, which I think is brilliant. Personally, I'd say to the kids, FA Cup, League Cup, Europa League, you lot go and play that. The big boys concentrate on the Premier League. Aubameyang, Lacazette, Pepe, you're not playing a single game other than Premier League games for us. We're going to go for second place in the Premier League.
So let's finish this off then. I agree with that, Danny. So we all agree then that the front three are going to be Aubameyang, Lacazette, and Pepe.
Yeah.
And then Ozil sitting in behind them in the number 10 spot.
I don't think Ozil's going to last long there. He wasn't bad in pre-season, but no one can be bad. I would like to see Mkhitaryan playing in that 10 like he did for Dortmund, because he is too old now. It's weird in football because usually you start out on the wing and then you usually come inside a little bit, like Ray Parlour did in his day, and quite a few players have done that. But you don't start out in playing in the 10, and the older you get, go and play out wide. That's not how football works, because he's probably thinking, I'm too old for this nonsense. So I'd like to see him probably get some time playing behind the front three, pulling the strings, because he has got the ability to do it. But I always get the feeling that him and Ozil are very kind of lackadaisical about their attitude towards football. So imagine having a Willock in behind them, or the other one. Willock, the elder, has left Benfica and gone to West Brom on loan.
Is he really?
Oh, wow.
I think I heard the other Willock brother who was at Man United's left there as well. Because there's three of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, Carl, good question. I think it was funny. At first, I thought this is going to be tremendously tough. But as we talked through it, I think we all kind of came to a consensus there. Before we wrap, we haven't talked about Martinelli or Saliba. Any brief comments from either of you on those two signings? I think they were covered earlier in the summer.
Martinelli looks quick, doesn't he? He looks like he's good at running with the ball, and he's going to be a handful, which I know in previous years, Man City had Jesus that did that. Liverpool have had their young striker do that. I think we do need some. Now that Eddie Nketiah has gone to Leeds on loan for a season, which is going to turn him into a brilliant player, we need that young man on the bench who is going to turn teams and just run forever. And you think, God, you've got a quarter of an hour of the game left to go, and he comes on for Lacazette as a defender. You're going to be going, oh my God, it's like trying to catch a wasp.
Like you said, I think we need that sort of player that, you know, when the defence is tired, it was like almost like Theo Walcott used to do. Defence is tired, you bring Theo Walcott on with 15 minutes to go, you just say, just run at them. Just literally run at them, and hopefully,
but unlike what Walcott turned left at the end.
Yeah, but hopefully Martinelli will do that, and he'll get a few games. You know, he'll be in the League Cup. He'll probably, you know, he'll play definitely the Cup games. He may not be a starter in the Premier League, but he'll definitely be on the bench and get his opportunity against some of the lesser teams. You know, when we're going to get injuries. This is Arsenal Football Club. Of course, players get injuries, and no player can go the whole season without getting at least one game injured, or at least needing a rest. And hopefully, he can be our Christopher Ray of 2019-2020.
Oh, that's a good one. Sylvain Wiltord.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Martinelli, I think I read too that he had some assurances about getting some first team football. He wasn't going to get loaned out this season. So with Welbeck leaving, although he wasn't always available through injury, certainly a position we needed to fill. And Danny, as you mentioned, Eddie Nketiah out to Leeds today for a season long loan. I do think he has a future at Arsenal, and he's, you know, he's got to get that game time, but he looked sharp in preseason as well, scored a couple of goals.
Very good.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, the youngsters coming through, it looks very, very promising.
The day before the transfer window ended, yesterday everyone was saying on Twitter, oh, we want Luiz, we want Tierney. In the olden days, this wouldn't have happened, would it? It would have been no one. We might have got someone with a broken back on loan. Now we've got Raul, the human frog, in charge. We have signed two really good players that are going to slot right into the first team and take the team forward. It's just so good. I keep thinking, this can't be true. How the hell have we spent 140-odd million quid in a transfer window when we finished fifth in the league and runners-up in the Europa League final and got nowhere in the FA Cup and League Cup? How's this happened? But the other thing I was going to ask is, I know this is, we've got to finish here, but with the deals that we got, the blokes from France, I know with Pepe, it was 20 million now, and the other 52 million over the next five seasons. And with Saliba, it was 6 million now and 6 million a year for the next 3 years. I think roughly, I mean, I got that from somewhere. So do you reckon that the money that we got for Iwobi and some of the other players, they played it all in one go? Because when English teams buy from English teams, you do quite often pay all the money up front, don't you? Because we've had £30 million of sales, and half of that has been to, or more than half of that, I've not added Iwobi into that, so £60 million. More than half of that has come from English teams. So I'd be interested to know whether we get all that money up front, then that could help pay the long-term payments for over the future years for the players that we don't pay for all at once.
Hopefully. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
That's a question for Fife or Swiss Ramble. That, despite my degree in economics, I'm not sure. I mean, I think our financial situation was better than we thought, and there was some cleverness in the way we did deals. And you know, I'm going to leave it at that, because how payments have been structured, and my eyes are going to glaze over and roll back in my head. I mean, Carl, I don't know if you want to answer that, but yeah.
No, I just think that we've been relatively smart. I think a lot of the newspapers made a lot about our, you know, paying in installments, but I think what people need to understand is that a lot, like Danny said, a lot of teams pay for players in installments. It's very rare that you pay for a player right up front, and it's usually a lot of add-ons as well. So where you might buy a player for 20 million, I think it's probably normally something like maybe 15 million up front and 5 million in add-ons, you know, depending on how the player and the team do. Because I remember there's that rumor when we signed Chamberlain, that's why he was always being taken off like 15 minutes before the end, because apparently if he paid 90 if he played like a 90 minute, we'd have to pay Southampton some money. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But
it happened with Reyes, didn't it? Steve was saying that with Reyes in the Champions League final, the reason he didn't play is because it would have cost us an extra 5 million or something. I'm sure.
So there you go. I just think that a lot of teams, how they structure their deals, are based on how you perform. So, you know, it is what it is. By the end of the day, we spent the money. The money's out there. I am optimistic for this season. I really am. I think that we... I think we've potentially got a team that can finish third in the league. I think Man City are clear of everyone. Let's face it, they are. Liverpool, with what they did last season, although they haven't added anyone, they haven't gotten any worse. So you're potentially looking at them being status quo. But I think we are better than Manchester United. Their strike force is atrocious, I think, and I think their midfield is really, really bad. Are we better than Chelsea? I mean, Chelsea's forward, they've got Giroud, Batshuayi, and Tammy Abraham. If they get 30 goals between them in the season, they'll be very, very lucky. So, you know, I think Chelsea are not a team to really worry about that lot up the road. You have to count them in because they have, I know some people may not agree with me, but one of the best strikers in the world. He is very good, and they have a few backup good strikers. And, you know, what their manager's done for them has been really, really good. So I think it's a straight fight between us and them for third, and the rest, I personally think, that really matter.
No, it's good. I was gonna end with three rapid fire questions. Carl's already done the answer to the first one, and that is, so we're gonna go to Danny. Given where we're at today, where do you think we will finish realistically at the end of the season, Danny?
If we have any luck with injuries, third, definitely top four, but possibly third. And if we're really, really lucky, second. If all the strikers manage to score goals and Ozil starts to get the 20 assists that I think he's capable of, or if he pulls his finger out. How about you?
Yeah, I think third is reachable, although I've said that before. I said third was reachable before that dreadful run of eight games at the end of the season. So it was right there. And I think given what we've done in the transfer market and that Unai Emery is one season down with the club, he understands Premier League a bit better. It's pretty hard for me to say that we wouldn't make up that 1 point gap. And every season's different. But, you know, to Carl's points, you know, breaking down the teams, I think we should be playing for third. We should be fighting for third come the end of the season. So that's the answer to rapid fire question number one. Carl, I'm not coming back to you on that one. You already answered it. Let me ask a different question. Now that we have the squad settled, potentially a couple outgoings. We talked about Elneny and Mustafi potentially before, so, you know, the end of the European transfer windows in September. Maybe even a loan of Emile Smith Rowe, but potentially we have the squad now that we know we're going to have for the season. Who's the captain, Carl?
Oh, Granit Xhaka does get the captain's armband. Let's face it, he's been the captain through in a lot of the preseason games.
Well, didn't we just say that he's not going to play?
Yeah, but so what? It's not like
perfect.
When it's have we ever? When is our captain? Yeah, so I do think that he is our captain. I think Ozil will be the vice captain for the squad, and right, Hector Bellerin's got a shout. I personally think he should be one of, because doesn't Emery like to have, he said, five captains, doesn't he? So, or even to the fact maybe David Luiz comes in and, you know, his captain's some of the Arsenal games. Whether just because he's just coming now doesn't mean he's not good enough to be the captain. So for me, Xhaka, Ozil, and David Luiz, I think definitely has got a shout.
Okay, okay. Some interesting calls there. Danny, what about you, captain for next season?
Well, according to Wikipedia, Granit Xhaka is captain, vice-captain is Monreal and Ozil. Now, going by the lineup we've just done, I'd have Leno as captain because he's the only player, one of the few players. I don't want strikers as forward players as a captain. I don't want that. I either want a central defender or a defensive midfielder. Can't have Torreira because his English isn't going to be as good as it's going to be in a few years' time. We can't have that bloke on loan. So then you look at the back. Well, Holding is too young. Pappy is probably going to set a bad example to everybody by hitting, kicking people. You don't want that. You want someone like Leno. And Leno was vice-captain when he was at Leverkusen. Mönchengladbach, I always get those two mixed up. His last club, vice-captain. So I'd give it to him because you know he's going to be one of the first players and play the most number of games in the league next season. He'd probably play every single game.
So no, I agree. I think Leno makes there's a strong case for it to be Leno, but I do agree. I think Carly, I think you're right. I think it's going to be Granit Xhaka. It seems to be leaning that way. And if we really, really, really want to boil some Welsh piss right now, we say Socrates. And I do think there's an argument there for Socrates. I know I get what you're saying, Danny.
The boundary was dead,
but you know He's a guy who's had a season at the club. He was ever present, so he was in that lineup. So there's that argument. He has a lot of experience, a little bit of the dark arts about him. So, you know, to your point,
a little bit.
He likes a cheeky professional foul, doesn't he? I'm going to shut this down because I can just feel WhatsApp buzzing right now with the Jason Davis. Just hammering me. Okay, final rapid fire question before we close the show down, guys. We've talked a lot about the transfer window today. I mean, I think that was the point of the show. Rate our transfer window out of 10. Danny, I'm going to go to you first.
9.
Strong 9. Carl?
8.5.
Good. Yeah. I think an 8.5 is valid, and I think the only thing that could have been made better, I think we could have gotten a better center back, than David Luiz. But we've got him, and I think it'd be hard to argue that we haven't strengthened this window given what's been done. So some positive signs out of the club in this transfer window. Now we've got to go out and beat Newcastle this weekend. So given that, Danny. Just to you, I think there's a pod between now and Newcastle on Sunday. Is that correct?
A preview one. I should be doing that with maybe give Josh a call, see if he wants to do that. That'd be 15-20 minutes. We might do it live, but actually, we probably won't do it live because it's all new software. Like, this isn't live. Well, we're doing it live, but it won't be live. So yeah, that'll be out Saturday sometime. Sunday after the show, there'll be the usual live show, and it's going to be, I think Jay said it was me, him, and John. Not sure if John's got his computer fixed yet, but Jason got his lovely new computer today. Thank you very much, dear listeners. He is over the moon with it. He spent 3 hours poking with a stick trying to get it to work, and I told him there's a button on new modern fandangled things. So he's over the moon with that. All he went is, oh, bloody hell, it starts up really quick. I thought it's a miracle that, compared to his one that didn't even start up. So yeah, thank you very much to the listeners for all the money you've been chucking at us to help pay that. And then on, I think, Tuesday, before the Europa League, I think we have to work out when the games are going to come because there's no Europa League, so we can do it any day of the week. So it'll be between Premier League games because always quite a few at the start of the season, isn't there? So without looking, I don't know. But the next two shows, preview Saturday, post-show Sunday.
Fantastic. So we didn't talk about Newcastle this weekend. It's going to be talked about. So if you're listening to this, listeners, get on the preview show ahead of Newcastle on Sunday. It is season's eve. We forget about that with the transfer window closing today, but season starts tomorrow. It's enough talking. It's time to do the business on the pitch. So a couple of pods, and of course, Bergkamp Wonderland will get back into the swing of things. Just a brief mention, if you're watching us on YouTube or if you listen in through iTunes or other podcasts, give us a thumbs up, give us a like, give us a rating. It helps keep the show going. I know, as Jason says, get tapping, tappy, tappy, tappy. I know this wasn't a live show, but we still appreciate all of the feedback that you guys give to us. So seasons ahead. One other listen, if you haven't done it yet, there's the Barbican Pirates podcast. Barbican Pirates, of course, the team, grassroots team that the pod sponsors, that's managed by Mr. Chris Carpenter. Also, She Wore, Gav gave some great prizes to that podcast. If you get listening, donate £5 to Barbican Pirates. You are in it to win it. A clock, a watch, and I believe a customized Barbican Pirates jersey. So get listening to that pod if you haven't done that already. And then the only other thing I had left here to mention, other than gentlemen's nods, are we running a fantasy league this year? Danny?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm assuming we've got some tweets out from the pod accounts on how to join up with that. So yeah. Get in it. We do look at all the team names, and Spurs players are banned. So yeah. In our members league last year, I'm pleased to say that I won because the two people ahead of me used Spurs players.
Ellis only used one player for 5 minutes. It doesn't matter, Ellis.
Doesn't matter. Boys, 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 boys. But victory was sweet. So I went out and celebrated and filmed the video and put it in the WhatsApp, I think. I don't know. I don't remember.
You've got so many quality videos.
Oh, God. That is one of my favorite things, is to watch the videos the next day and be like, wow, I didn't know I said that.
Just if it is, Jeff laughs. Yeah, he's very, very drunk.
Gentlemen, I do like a shandy. Gentlemen's nods, guys going out. Carl, go to you. Do you have anyone you want to shout out?
I am going to do it to the last person that followed me. So if you give me 2 seconds, I will tell you. And that was... It went to loads up. It was... Oh, let me scroll. Too many mentions. It's you lot.
We don't shut up, so you can...
I know.
All the nonsense. It's not easy, is it?
I'll just do it to whoever, which is Will Clark, which is Will GC 2000. He's an Arsenal fan. He doesn't. He only has 53 followers. So give him a follow.
Well done. I too am going to do for the last person that followed me. Other than the Barbican Pirates, make sure you're following them. Get involved with those guys. It looks like it's up for grabs now. At It's Up for Grabs NW, no O in that. And then Waiting for Dennis O is his description. Looks like an Arsenal fan with Bergkamp in there. So 509 followers. Give that person a follow and give them a shout. Danny, gentleman's nod.
I think it's going to come from all of us to Steve's daughter. Don't know if she wants us to say her name, but she said something really nice in the WhatsApp. She's taken over Steve's phone and is in our main WhatsApp group. And she said something really nice the other day, which moved everybody. It was she was enjoying watching all the videos on YouTube of her dad over the years. And I thought that was a really nice thing. So, yeah, to her, yeah, keep on watching. And we're all there for you.
No, it's a good show. Yeah, we are there for, and it was a bit surreal the other day when that first message came through that said Steve on. I think most of us were moved terribly by that, and she's interacted with us, and I know Danny, you've got the odd bits and edited out bits from our podcast, because of course listeners, we often will talk before and after the show. It gets recorded. Danny was going to bundle those up that Steve is in and send them over to Steve's daughter, because she was getting some enjoyment from that and reliving some of the excitement of her dad. So great show, Danny. I know as well, listeners, keep your eyes peeled. We are going to do a Steve special at some point, likely with all of our thoughts and memories of Steve, as well as some of his best bits, because he's had some absolute, like some of the best sound clips I think Bergkamp Wonderland has ever produced. So keep your ears out for that. Keep an eye out for that. And again, Steve, rest in peace, my friend. I think with that, there is nothing more to do but to thank you guys for joining me. I don't get to pod that often because of the time zone. So I had a blast. Carl, it's my first time podding, I think, with you. You said maybe one other time, but I don't think so. I don't think we podded together. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Pleasure is most definitely all mine. I love podding with all of you guys. That ever since I joined Bergkamp Wonderland, every single one of you made me feel welcome. And another season, we roll on. We know we're gonna have good times and bad times, but we're all still gonna be here.
Fantastic, Carl. And Danny, you and I—you're ever present in my pods. We go back some years now, I think, and I think one of the few of us that's actually met you in person. Is that? Have you met anyone else yet?
Well, Sean's been on quite a lot. I've met her. I've just got all my stuff through from Arsenal, and I've got my stuff organised for my application for my Purple membership. So the first two games I'll be applying for that Sean before she goes back to uni is the Spurs home game and the Villa. Is it Villa? Yeah, Villa home game. No, not Villa. Yeah, it is Villa, yeah. Can't do the Burnley one because it's Sean's mum's birthday and Sean's also working, so I'm going to be at some of the games. So
listeners and members of this podcast, be on the lookout for Danny. World famous Danny's. He's appeared in some Cold War stand pictures lately. Keep your eyes out for him. Anyways, thank you, Danny. Thank you, Carl. Without further ado, we are done. This has been a Bergkamp Wonderland. Have a good weekend.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.